So the last of our three Mythbusters shirim, so maintaining the mezuzah security system. So not really getting into tonight the areas of mezuzah. I mean, that is also an interesting question. A lot of interesting questions about Hilchos Mezuzah. I think we've talked about that before, no? A while ago. I have to check the archives. I think we already talked about the placement of mezuzah, but we're talking about a couple of other things about Hilchos Mezuzah that I think all of them are a couple misnomers, some myths out there. Some aren't such myths, and we'll discuss that tonight. So one is the idea, there's an idea of checking mezuzahs. I've heard the first source on the page, Shulchan Aruch, writes, mezuzahs yachin ivdekes pa'amim b'sheva shanim v'sharabim pa'amim b'yovel. That a mezuzah of a person, of one person, you know, a regular person, should be checked twice every 7 years, pa'amim, right? Twice in every 7 years. V'sharabim pa'amim b'yovel. And when there's a, when it's a public use, I think the Beis Yosef writes, being a mezuzah on a shar, not really that of a shul. A shul does not fall into the category of a public mezuzah, but a public mezuzah is one that, like, on the gates into the city. Right, if you walk through the gates of the old city of Yerushalayim, so you'll notice in the gates they have mezuzahs, at least on the ones that Jews frequent. There are mezuzahs on all of those gates. And you might notice, the settlements, and I don't call them settlements, but you know, neighborhoods that are surrounded by fences have a lot of them have mezuzahs on the gates coming in. That's one of the dinim of amezuz pisacha uvisharecha. Right. So, anyways, so that, I don't want to talk about the twice every 50 years. The Gemara says that if you impose too much on the rabbim, it's an interesting halacha for shul, for how to run a shul. But if you impose the Rishonim say that if you impose too much on the rabbim, on the kal, they're not going to keep it. So you got to be very light with the kal twice every 50 years. That'll be enough for them. But for our private mezuzahs, the Gemara tells us that it should be twice every 7 years. So a couple things about checking the mezuzah. Number one, why do we check the mezuzah? So Rashi there on the daf tells us shema nirkava o nignava, that you want to make sure that unless it be destroyed or unless it be stolen, right? Those are, there's no it's not really a any Kabbalistic value or anything like that. We got to make sure that they're still kosher. We got to make sure that they're still good.
Near kavanah.
What?
Near
kavanah. Bad. You know, bad. that something has gone bad within it. Onignav, or that it was stolen. So you got to make sure that it's still there. But other than make sure it's still there, right? You also got to make sure that it didn't get ruined at some point during that time. So. Who checks? I remember I looked into this as soon as I got to Phoenix. It hasn't happened here so much, and I'm quite grateful for that. People like started bringing me mezuzahs to look over. I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what you need me to look over your mezuzahs for. I don't necessarily know anything more about the laws of what the letters are supposed to look like than anyone else does. That wasn't part of my training in smicha, so who would give it to me? And I kind of look at it and give it back. And Baruch Hashem, we found this Chassam Sofer that backs up what I would say. So I didn't actually quote the Chassam Sofer itself, but I quote from the Piskei Tshuva. If you look on the bottom, I guess I put it back, on the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, so there's a commentary on the bottom called, I think they're called like a super commentary, like when they just quote everybody else. There's like a scholarly term for them. But he basically brings up whatever post Shulchan Aruch tshuvos until he lived in the 1850s or so. So he quotes those all in his sefer called the Piskei Tshuva. That's his thing. And he doesn't just quote them, but he actually gives you the one line. It could be like a five-page responsa. It could be like a very long thing. And he'll quote you the one or two lines that are necessary. And like, you get it. And that's really the greatness of the Sefer Piskei Tshuva. So he writes... he writes here clearly. On the end of the second line, right, it says Behedya Durabim Hainu Shari Hayiru Medina. And we talk about the mezuzahs of the rabbim, of the multiple, of the many people of the cities. That's talking about the gates going into the city. Then he writes something else. V'chasav Od the Inyan Habedika Lo Boy Mumcha Habaki. right? That a bit, I'm not sure what that stands for, but the you don't require a expert, a mumcha or a baki, someone with expertise in this. Elokol adam yachol lebatkan. Anybody could check their mezuzas. Aval kolpanim sarach lepasim, but you should open them up. La'ayin v'chol os and check every letter. Imlo nirkav that it hasn't gotten destroyed. That the letters themselves haven't gotten destroyed. Kivun she'asui liskar v'liv lof ba'orach hayavim. Because it tends to become a little bit spoiled. There's a word I'm looking for. They fade, right. They begin to fade a little bit over time. Right? So the Chassam Sofer says, what's he saying? He's saying that when you open up the mezuzah, it was already checked, it was already kosher at some point, right? At some point it was kosher, that's why you put it on your wall. Right? Well, you hope at some point, as soon as you've checked it once, or it's been checked, right, it's still there. So what's really the only thing you got to check for? So you got to check for two things. You got to check for A, that it's still there, right? And B, you got to check for that hasn't gotten destroyed. So do you need a sofer to tell you it hasn't been destroyed? I mean, do you need somebody with expertise that knows about all the crowns on top of the letters and all the details that appear within the letter? Do you need that? Do you need that kind of expertise? No, the Chassam Sofer is saying all you need to do is look and see if it's damaged. If it's damaged, so then you go to a sofer. I mean, if there's a problem, you can see that there's a problem, right? When people bring mezuzahs, so I take a look. You can see sometimes there's a problem. Something's gotten smudged. Something's gotten whatever. So that, okay. So you bring that to an expert. But the regular mezuzah that you check every once in a while, right? These mezuzahs that we're talking about, that at this point at least we're saying that should be checked two times out of every 7 years. So that check doesn't have to be brought into the rabbi. People are bringing bags of mezuzahs, right? Those checks don't have to be done by the rabbi. Those can be done at home by anybody that knows how to read Hebrew. Okay, because again, you're not right. The letter hasn't disappeared, right? That didn't happen. What might have happened is it got smudged, it got scratched, it got this, it got that. So okay, so you could see that with your own eyes, right? You could read it through. We know Shema, we know Vayayim Shema, we know the two parts of the Mizuzah. So good. Okay, so one could go ahead and read that. In fact, I would argue that it's advisable for a person to check their own mezuzahs in their own home. Why would it be advisable for a person to check it in their own homes and not have to bring it to the rabbi and have to give him a little bit? Thank you very much. Because to take down your mezuzahs to have them checked, that's a serious shiloh, right? I'm gonna be mezuzahless for a little bit, and then but sometimes the checkers,
They have
lender mezuzahs. So that also is a problem, because what gives me the right to take them down? What gives you the right to replace one mezuzah for another? Who says that's okay? So many advise that the Chassam Sofer is actually really the way to go, not just because you don't want to drive the rabbi crazy, but it's actually advisable for your own home, right? Yeah, every couple of years, you take them down, you take a look, you open them up, you read them through, roll them up, put them back on, right? And you say, I don't really know how to roll them up. Trust me, I have no idea how to roll them up either. I'm sure anybody here will do a better job than me. You throw whatever.
This is how lawful am I, said the answer. You don't have to bring it to...
That's the Chassam Sofer, yeah. That's the din. Myth number one.
What year is the price when you go by the actual parchment?
What varies the price? Why are the prices sometimes different? The cloth, it could be a different quality, or the writing could be a different quality. You could see pretty quickly about quality of writing. What we were checking for really is just to, see all the letters there. You can see when it's nicer and when it's not nice. I mean, most of the way that, if you look at most mezuzahs, right, it would never be put that way, and a Torah would never look that way. Like, if you actually have to read it, it wouldn't look that way. And it's written quickly. I think Sofram could, like, knock off a few mezuzahs in a day. Like, it's really not a big deal. You're just writing it over, basically. So some are done more carefully than others.
There was in the 70s a scandal where there were a lot of the, especially the Kohanim from Israel, were puzzled. And that's when they started up those nonprofit organizations, the Bad Mishner Tzvan and whatever.
Why were they puzzled?
I don't know the reason. I don't remember the reason. But it was a widespread problem. And we actually encountered it. We had had mezuzahs that we got from Israel. And they were all of them, so they looked at them and they said they were all bad. It was this organization that was started up, and after that there was like more...
Irish Bridgestone.
What?
Five missionaries, Tom, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then things became better after that.
I don't know. My father actually has a chavrus in Queens. It's in five towns. Some of them is a doctor. My father learns it a little bit. He also got in the business. Right, so I don't want to put him out of business. He has a lot of other work to do in terms of placement of mezuzahs. He does, when he first started, it was, you know, the mezuzah doctor. I do house calls. Right? So you set up your whole thing.
Right, so this time you apply to tefillin.
This would... So tefillin as well. Well, tefillin, the problem is you don't really know how to open them up properly. I mean, I don't know how to open them up properly.
But assuming you could...
So it'd be the same din. It'd be the same din. I mean, you don't know the other two parshiyos of Tefillin, you don't necessarily know as well. So it might take a little bit longer, but yeah. But there's no real reason to that the rabbi needs to check. It's clear.
So
yes.
This
Chassam Sofer is accepted. We can check Rabbi Felder's book. I just noticed Rabbi Felder here, and we have it on our bookshelf. Rabbi Felder has a sefer here on Hilchos Mezuzah. Aaron Felder are from the great city of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And let's see, does he have a din about checking, requirements for placement, positioning, protective casing, who, bracha, what's retaining, no. What is it saying? The recitation of period inspection of the mezuzah. One is required, and a private one is every 2 hours. All mezuzahs in the dwelling must check, and a public dwelling in the mezuzah should be checked, okay? A mezuzah. He does have that din. Excellent. Okay, we'll get to that shortly. If one is informed. Okay. Okay, he doesn't have it here. He doesn't quote it here. But I don't know. No one disagrees on the page of Shulchan Aruch.
So. Oh, okay, so
he doesn't quote it, but it doesn't. Right, doesn't say.
It should be checked every two hours.
Right. So that right. So that was the number one in Hilchos Mezuzah about who checks it. Now I want to point out that perhaps some exceptions to the rule. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that. So he quotes that Rashi that we just discussed, right? Perish Rashi. Shulchan Shema Nirkava Onigdava. The axe will be destroyed, it will be stolen. The Lefize Makum Hamiyuad Lirkavon, Goshiyesh Sham Lachluchis, Koshaharbe Matsui Bimedina Seinu. He says those places that will likely get, you know, that have bad weather. Like, or there's a lot of moisture there. Like many of the mezuzahs that are found by us in our country, he lived in the Vardik, right, Lithuania. Right? You should check more often, once in a year. That's what I do. I check once a year. Even if I find three that are not a problem, right, what does he mean by that? Why does three that are not a problem help?
Maybe they didn't have a lot of room.
No. He's saying even if I have three that aren't a problem, still I gotta check the rest. Right? Very often three form a chazakah, right? If I find three, so very often that should be a chazakah, the rest should be okay. So it's not still no good. You gotta check all of them. The bezeloshai chazakah came in she'ena doma makom lamakom, because it doesn't work to say that they're all kind of in the same place. So it's not in the same place. One's facing north, one's facing east. Right? One is exposed to the sun, one's not exposed to the sun. One is gets the wind and rain right into it, and one doesn't. So you got to check all of them. What happens if it's a pain in the neck for me to check the mezuzahs? It's easier for me just to put up another mezuzah. Yeah, I know that mezuzah is probably a problem. I'm going to put up another mezuzah. Is that okay? Aruch HaShulchan says absolutely not. You're not allowed to put up two mezuzahs on one doorway because of the problem of Baal Tosif. Was the problem of you're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs, right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave 613 mitzvahs. You're not supposed to add to them. You're not supposed to have five strings of tzitzis, right? You're not supposed to have what are the other examples that the Gemara gives there? You're not supposed to have five parshas of tefillin. So adds the Aruch HaShulchan, you're not allowed to have two mezuzahs on a door. Which, by the way, answers parts of the question of. One of the major questions in Hilchos Mezuzah is very often which side do you put the mezuzah on? Remember, I pointed out when I got here, the mezuzah was on one side, we moved it to the other side, but was the usage of the room changed? But it's still a question, which how does usage take place? There's a cute tshuva in the Sefer Minchas Yitzchak that he has a, that he was asked the question, the Shaila came from Dayan Breish, I forget who, what Sefer he wrote, and they were, they're Mechutanim, right? They, their children married each other, right? And they're discussing the placement of mezuzahs in their children's apartment. I mean, the two of them are having a machlokas about where the mezuzahs should be in the children's apartment. There's a nice little diagram of a nice apartment in Ve'esh Arim, you know, in there, and you could all, you could figure it out. Another time. But that answers the question. So why can't you just put on both sides, right? And that way you avoid all the problems. You can't. You can't put mezuzah on both sides. The problem with baltosif. One per customer. And no more than that per customer. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan said. What's the Aruch HaShulchan doing? The Aruch HaShulchan is pointing out that this isn't a objective din of two times every 7 years. Which is why I find his language here a little bit strange. Right? Felder's book, which I just opened up here, he writes, in quoting from Rav Moshe, that he doesn't say twice every 7 years. He's writing, one is required to check the mezuzah in a private dwelling once in 3.5 years. It's not really what the Mishnah said. Right? The Mishnah said twice every 7 years, meaning what? I mean, why the Mishnah chose to write it that? Why the Mishnah chose to write it that way is interesting. But he's pointing out here is that it's a subjective thing, right? It's a subjective right. It depends. He said by us, it's 2 and 7 years not enough. You got to check every year. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. So comes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is one of the Gedolim that merited having a lot of Sfarim written in his name that he didn't actually write. So in Hilchos Tefillin of a sefer that recorded all the things that Rav Shlomo Zalman did, right? You can see here the top is a recording of what he did, and then in Dvar Halacha is like the sources for it. So he writes, "A Noagin Livduk Es Tefillin Shenasu Bizmanenu." The I can't read what that says. The Hidur, right? The tefillin that today are done very well, he wouldn't check. And not for any one reason. So if you look here at the bottom, in the Dvar Halacha, I know it's Rashi script, but in his, this is, in the Rashi script, he writes, Asha kasva poskim shenachon livduk ha-tefillin af im hus chuksaku bekashrus, even though the poskim write that one should check the tefillin, v'shematzui shemiskakul im machmas hazaya, because it might get ruined because of the sweat, right, that people have, right, the tefillin might get ruined, mikol makom, betefillin shebizmaneinu ha-asuyim behidr in lachush lezeh. Our tefillin today is a much better quality. So I don't have to worry about it anymore. But Adarab, Apirov, Mitsuyim, Takalos, Rakla, Achar, Shenitachu, Vetikunim, Michadash. Then the opposite, you actually, by opening it up, you actually cause more problems because you're unbending this filling from the way it was. So he says, better leave it closed. So I remember when I was working in the Riverdale Jewish Center, so it was a very nice thing. During Tishrei, they had one of the neighborhood sofrim from Washington Heights come up and say, basically, you know, they had it available, whoever wants, they bring all this stuff in, the sofrim will be there that day, and I brought him my tefillin. And he said, "Those have never been opened yet, have they?" I said, "No, but I was bar mitzvah over 10 years ago. I don't think they've been checked." So he said, "Leave it closed. I don't want to see it." So luckily, I'm not sure what else I'm sure what he's doing there.
He's an honest businessman.
He's a very honest businessman. What?
He was probably just dealing with ones that
he had a lot of older tefillin that he was dealing with, right? But he said, "Oh, so I haven't had my." He asked me, "Were your tefillin checked before you got them?" I said, "Yeah, they were. They bought them, and then I had them." They were computer checked, and they were washed. They were checked by someone else before being put in. And he said, "Okay, that's it. You're done. I don't want to see him." What? Yes, that's why I'm not sure. I mean, you can see the tefillin today are of so much better quality than that they were. I mean, I just compared to I remember when I got my bar mitzvah tefillin. So my father also bought a pair of tefillin at the same time because his were getting older, and I was like, is that the way my tefillin are going to look like? Like, these are going to look like that? And I don't think so. I don't think they're headed in that direction. The tefillin today are pretty good. And remember, what did he say here? He wrote that by tefillin, the problem is because of Zaya, because of our sweat, of the sweat that will go into it. I don't really see any change at all. Well, the only thing that you do have to watch it, what?
It affects the paint on them.
Right. Well, I remember originally when I was younger, I used to take showers in the morning, whatever. My hair, I didn't know the trick. You're not supposed to put your tefillin on when your hair is wet. And I remember they got warped. My tefillin shoulders actually got warped. I got them fixed. So that, I guess you hear a little bit more, maybe it makes a little bit more sense, but Shlomo said, don't check it unless they look. I mean, you can see from the outside if anything's going on the inside.
I think that's what he's saying. So
it's Israel. Let's just read the part about mezuzah, and we can talk about that quickly, right? The mezuzah, same thing for mezuzah, but makomu shekovim hamezuzah b'socha kosel b'kli zechuchis ve'ina nogas b'kosel. In the places where, you know, they're in an enclosed area and nothing's getting in there. There's no reason to be careful to check them twice every 7 years. So this is a machlokas. I don't really think it's a machlokas. It's not really a machlokas. It's different circumstances, right? Both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shlomo Zalman, right, are making the same argument. Just their argument is taking them in other directions, right? The Shulchan Aruch says twice every 7 years. Both of them say, wait a second, twice every 7 years isn't a din, right? It's not what we call a gzeiras hakasdim. Twice every 7 years, you got to bring your mezuzahs to the rabbi, right? That's not what it means. It means that the Gemara estimated, sat back and said, you know what? Probably twice every 7 years is probably the appropriate amount of time that one should check it. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, that's very nice when you were living in the nice dry climate of Babylon. Here in Lithuania, right, it ain't looking too good, right? It should be checked more often. And Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, but Eretz Yisrael, with our high quality tefillin and mezuzahs today, you can even check it less. I think that's what's going on. I would say they're not a machlokes. It's not a machlokes at all.
So could he even be saying that, because he's using something about protective, could he even be saying that inside your house, where it's climate controlled, you don't check off as you do with the ones on the outside.
Right, so I was going to mention that. I don't have a copy of this sefer, Halichos Shlomo. So I was trying to get a hold, so I ran over to the Kollel yesterday, and as I scanned, I borrowed their scanner, so thank you to Rabbi Zephron. I commented to Rabbi Zephron the halacha that I was quoting. And he commented to me, he said, yeah, it works for the inside, but outside it doesn't work. I always find problems. So I don't know, I haven't lived here that long, but in Phoenix we didn't have any problems.
You can spend hours trying to find good mezuzah, the
right.
Cloth and the writing and
right.
That kind of stuff. So it's not such an easy process.
Right. Right. That's a little true. Mezuzahs do very much vary in quality. As is tefillin, but again, tefillin's inside. Yes, they do. I think most of the boys today are getting pretty, good. From what I could tell, they're doing all right when it comes to tefillin. Okay, so that's the issue. Two issues with checking mezuzahs: who checks them and how often you check. So there is another story out there that you hear people talk about, and we'll see, Mikra din, they're correct. However, there's various exceptions. There's this halacha that you have to leave your mezuzahs behind. How many people here have heard of that halacha? Right? If you sell it to the Jew, you have to leave your mezuzahs behind. Right, which is why...
Even if they're
Gaish,
they leave the
mezuzah. Yeah, so let's, he talks about that also. He says it right here. Right, if you walk up and down in my apartment in Riverdale, like every apartment had a mezuzah. I remember my super had a mezuzah on his door. So I was like nervous, like, oh my gosh, like we can't like have him do anything on Shabbos anymore or whatever. And, what? He said, no, I think he said to me, I don't know what that is. I've been wondering what that was. Yeah, so some think it's good luck. It's true. Yeah. So Shulchan Aruch writes, Hasocher Beis Michavero, Chayv Lekvo Abba Mezuzah, Ultaki Makum Kviyusa. Okay, so halacha number one is the person who's renting the apartment, it's his responsibility to the mezuzah. Okay, right? If you're renting, you got to put it up. It's not necessarily part of the rent. Afiluschar Beis, the Chesoshiash, the mezuzah, lo habi mekach tos. Okay. Even if you thought that there was a mezuzah, it's not, it doesn't mess up the deal if it wasn't really up. V'cheshayatza lo yitlena v'yado. It says, however, when you leave, you shouldn't take it with you.
When you rent?
No, when you leave, this is the din. V'cheshayatza, when you leave, lo yitlena, at the end of the second line, right, lo yitlena v'yado, don't take it.
Yeah, from our rented home.
renting and you're putting up a mezuzah.
No, but even if you're renting from the land, I mean, it would be even worse here. I mean, you're renting it, is that, like, you never even owned the house at all, right? So for sure, if you owned it, you would leave it behind also. That's what the Gemara says. So why is that, by the way? What would be the reasoning behind it? Because, So Tosfos here writes, the source number 7, so Tosfos on the Gemara that quotes it, so Gemara and Baba Metziah. So Tosfos says on the source number 7, that even though Shmuel says that one is permitted to move their tzitzis from beged to beged, right, you are allowed to move it, right? In theory, if I had, like, he said it by tzitzis, right, if I have a couple of garments of tzitzis and I want to move my tzitzis one to the other and I didn't mind wrapping it up in and out all the time, right? So you could go ahead and do this. It's the same thing by mezuzah. That it's not a halacha in mezuzah that the mezuzahs have to stay there forever. Right? So says that's not the case, right? It's not that I have, once I put it up, I'm not allowed to take it down forever. That's not what's going on. Rather, because it's dangerous to have a house without a mezuzah. So by taking down a mezuzah, it's like you're destroying the alarm system. Right? You're destroying the security system by taking down a mezuzah. So that's what, meaning if the person bought a house and there was a mezuzah there, so by taking them down when you leave, so you're damaging the house. That's what. That's the reason that Tosfos gives. So okay. So it's very nice. So it's not even a, it's not a mezuzah halacha at all. It's a real estate. It's a Hilchos real estate din, right? So, however, what do we all know about Hilchos real estate? That yes, you could say that I'm responsible for this, I'm responsible for that, but you got to pay me for it, right? Or you have to work out. You have to work out the deal.
It's a good question. I mean, from people without, and if the house is sold to somebody who's not Jewish, they don't care. I mean, they say, I'm taking them with me, and they really care.
Right. But I'm saying if a person says, if A is buying a house from B, and they say, oh gee, the alarm system doesn't really work, so sometimes B will say, alright, we'll fix it for you. Sometimes B will say, well, we won't, then you've got to pay for it. Alright, they work it out. Or B could say, you got to pay for it. You know, you got to expect. So says the Ramah here in parentheses on the third line, he says, V'im hikbil al miyoseha, Asheni tzarech l'shalim. He says, however, if the original owner is makbil on his money, right, so the buyer's got to pay him for it. Right, so it's not just, okay. The house price is set. Oh, and I'm obligated to throw in this free gift of 15 free mezuzahs. So that's not the case, right? The case is that okay, I'll leave it for you, but you're responsible to pay me for it.
You're talking about the
klaf. Only, by the way, this is only the klaf. I think the post can make it clear that there's only damage to the cases, whatever the case, but the klaf is, right, it's important to point out.
Yeah.
You only have to leave behind the klaf, you don't have to leave behind the case. Yes?
This is very interesting because the interpretation of many, many people is that they have to leave the klaf, they take the case, and leave the klaf.
Well, they could.
But they took it down, though.
Yeah, well, you open it, put it right back, and it's not a.
Very nice.
Okay, so that's number one.
My question,
yes.
If you rent an apartment, say a complex. Okay?
Right.
So and you're moving, you leave your mezuzahs.
So we'll get to that also. And technically, yes, technically that's the salacha, but we'll find out that gets knocked out also. Okay, so second of all, v'im schar habayis mi'uvad me'ovei kochavim, if you're renting the house from a non-Jew, o sheschar lo'ovei kochavim not laviyotze, if you're selling it to a non-Jew, or you're renting to a non-Jew, etc., right, so you take it with you, you don't have to worry about them. Somebody asked before about if the non-Jew wants it, so it says the Ramah here at the end, v'ovei kochavim shebike she'ita lo mezuzah, let's say a non-Jew asks for the mezuzah, v'rotze and he wants to put it in his doorway, Asr litnulo, you're not allowed to give it to him. Right? The Ma'aril says it's not proper to give our mezuzahs to non-Jews. Venerally, the Ramah adds though, to be called Malkum, Malkum Dika Lamechim Yishumeva, if he's going to get all upset and he's going to say, ah, those Jews, they're a bunch of mystics, they're a bunch of, they're doing black magic with those mezuzahs on the door, right? It's going to cause a big problem. Mashir Mishum Zeli Yisrael Shari, and you're permitted that, you're afraid that, that whatever protection the non-Jew gets from it might be negligible compared to the amount of protection that you may need for not selling to him the mezuzah. So says the Ramah that would be mutter. Okay, so number one, as we said, the halacha is that you got to leave it. The base halacha is, oh my gosh, we're running late. The base halacha is that you got to leave it behind. Exception number one is, or not really exception, but din is you can charge him for it, right? It's his responsibility to pay you for those mezuzahs. Number two is this, and then the second big exception is igros Moshe. Somebody asked about the rental, right? You asked about the rental apartments. So the Rav Moshe writes, so he was asked this question, right? There's a response about that question. If somebody rented an apartment and they're moving out, they have to leave the mezuzahs behind. So he says, aval yachol, I'm not sure what this stands for, but he says, lismoch al hagon, Harav Henkin, Zatzal. You could rely on the opinion of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was a colleague of Rav Moshe, also lived on the Lower East Side. Really predated Rav Moshe. Was really one of the first real poskim in America. He started Ezra's Torah, the Luach, and stuff. That's Rav Henkin. He died early, okay. Could be. So anyway, Shishama Mimenu, that I heard from him, right? The Amar Shah Derech Medina Zu, that how do things work in our country? She'ein Shum Adam Nichlas Labayas El Kim Tzavaos Tachila Balabayas. And nobody can enter into an apartment until they repaint it first. Why do they repaint it first? Why do they repaint it first? They can jack up the rent, right? That way they can say, oh, it's an improved apartment, right? So that always happens, right? It always happens that they're going to repaint it. So what do the painters do when they come in to repaint? They rip off the mezuzahs. So the cheshetzovin, right, when they color it, hayimuchrochim lahasir samezuzah, shalot tiskalkel. They'll take off the mezuzah so that it doesn't get ruined. For a shai memele litlam. So therefore, memele, you're allowed to take it off before you leave. Memele afshad died. And low hischir, and therefore, even if it has been rented out, yishla hatir, right? Sheyitl gam takeif afsha dain yavru eza yamamashi yitzafa. Even though there'll be a while until someone else moves in, still you're allowed to take it off when you leave, because eventually the workers are going to come and remove it. So that's what we did when we left Riverdale. We left in the middle of our lease, and we found somebody to take over our lease, and they were Jews, and there was going to be a 1 week separation, but they were going to paint the whole thing. So we took all our mezuzahs with them. I don't know. I never heard from them. They're happy about that or not. I don't know if they're expecting to have mezuzahs on the walls when they came in, but that's the din in accordance with Moshe's din. Okay, so although it sounds very big, you know, the Gemara that you leave your mezuzahs behind, still the circumstances where it actually comes up are minimal. When you sell a house, it comes up, but even when you sell the house, you charge them for the cloth.
What if they refuse to pay?
Yeah, so that's a question. What happens if they refuse to pay? Yeah.
We had that happen to us. Then we sold our house in Chicago to conservative Jews. They only wanted one mezuzah, and they had it. And they said, we don't want your mezuzahs. But we were told we had to leave them, so we left them. And then later, my mom came by to pick up our mail, and they gave us back the mezuzahs. Which is good, because it's like...
Very nice of them. Yeah, so they do... So I did notice today. I saw something about it. I just forgot what the statement was. Right? Do they have a right to refuse? What happens then? It's a good question. I'll think a little more.
It's just like you're
bookcases.
Right? Leave a
chandelier or
bookcases now? No, because it says in the agreement for sale. It says chandeliers are included. Okay.
Right.
So it doesn't say that, so you have to. So somebody who's from has to exclude to say, I am excluding my 12 mezuzahs.
Right.
Because otherwise somebody might expect.
No, you wouldn't exclude them. You have to give them the option. You have to say to them, you know, I'll leave my mezuzahs up, but you have to pay me for them. And then that person could say, no, you know, take your mezuzahs and leave, you know, we'll put up our own. So your question is a little bit different, because they weren't going
to
put up their own. So
you have to go to the rabbi and hopefully everybody costs
them
the same way.
Okay.
But what if their rabbi costs
them? Well, then you got to deal with it, right. Right. Then you got
to
decide. The real estate agent's got
to
work it out. That's why they make the big bucks. All right, one more area of concern here, and that is as follows. How many people here have heard that you don't have to put up your mezuzah for the first 30 days? Right? What?
30 days. I thought you had 30 days.
Yeah, 30, okay. All have heard various versions of this halacha. Okay. So it's not completely false, but it's pretty false. right here in number 9 is Halacha in Shulchan Aruch that he doesn't actually include the whole din, but he says Asocher Bayit, he doesn't talk about when you own it. When you own the house, it goes without saying, he doesn't even include it, that you have to put up your mezuzah right away. It's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, but your mezuzah has to go up on day 1, you got to put up your mezuzah. Even though you are going to, but you're not allowed to live in your house without a mezuzah. It's your house already.
On every single doorpost or just the front of the back?
Really, every doorpost. I mean, it's the first day when you move in, that's really what should be done. You know, all the movers are moving in your stuff, you're banging in the mezuzahs.
Ideally, you get all the painting done before you move in.
Right, well, that also, ideally, anyways, you to get it painted before you move in.
Is that actually, from, let's say you move in, after, you actually go to live there after you own it? Is it when you live there?
Right, so that I was wondering about. I remember when I was in Riverdale, I put in the shul newsletter that I'm available to do house school. I did the same thing. That's how I got Shimush and Hilchos and Zuzah. I figured I would go to everybody's house. I'd come up. I already learned Hilchos and Zuzah. And any questions that I had, I'd go and take a picture of it and bring it to my Rebbe. I was still in Yeshiva. And that's how I learned Hilchos and Zuzah. So I had this question. One guy brought me to his house, a massive house that he had just purchased. He was the president of the shul. He bought this huge, massive, this huge house. And he owned it already, but he wasn't moving in for another couple of weeks, but he had stuff there. So my question was, on one hand, right, if you own it, okay, maybe not, but if you're using it, there is a halacha that a beis ha'otzer is chayav in mezuzahs, that a storehouse is obligated in mezuzahs. That's why your garage is actually obligated in mezuzahs, right? So I wonder, should he put it up now, because in theory it's a storehouse, or does he wait till you move in, when that's really the ideal time of mezuzah? So I remember Rabbi Simon, who I learned many of the halachas of mezuzah from, he has a huge, great article right here also, which is wonderful. So he told me that, you know, you wait till the person, when you know the person is going to be moving in, so you wait till he move in. And that day is when he should be putting up his mezuzah. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, number 1, Asocher Bayis v'chutz la'aretz v'hadar b'punak b'eretz Yisrael, that if you're living in a, if you're renting a house outside of Israel, or you're living in some, punduk is like a shack, right? Something very small, which isn't really applicable today. Whatever. Hadar b'punduk in Eretz Yisrael, patur mi mezuzah shloshim yom. You're exempt from mezuzah for 30 days. Vasocher bayis b'Eretz Yisrael, if you rent the house in Eretz Yisrael, chayv mezuzah miyad, you're obligated to mezuzah right away, yishum yishav Eretz Yisrael, v'hu adin l'shol beino beizdino kesocher, right? And so too if he's borrowing, etc. So the halacha is, he doesn't even include owning. If you own it, it's right away. If you rent it in Eretz Yisrael, it's right away. It's only if you rent in Chutz La'aretz, so Shulchan Aruch writes that you have 30 days that you can put it up. So on the left side of the page here is the part that was put in is from Sefer Avi Ezri. Rav Shach wrote the Sefer on the Rambam. Most of it is discussing issues within the Rambam, and all of a sudden he has this psak in Hilchos Mezuzah that he throws out, that there is a halacha. He writes that before he gets into mezuzah, he writes that there's a halacha that you're not allowed to rent to non-Jews ever. You're a landlord, you're not allowed to rent to non-Jews. Why are you not allowed to rent to non-Jews? Because you're going to be harboring a Vodazara. So you assume that they're going to bring a Vodazara to the house. So why is it that today everyone rents to non-Jews? So he says the reason is because our rental agreements are different today. That used to be in the good old days that when you rented to somebody, right, so you rent them the house, and whenever you feel like him, you can move him to another house, right? There were no leases. It was just like you were renting. And there was no, like, time that a person could assume that they would be in their house. So he says, That was the way it worked in the old days. So really, you owned it, and so it was living in your house. He says, today, when you rent a house, you're really buying it for a year. Right? When you rent a house, I don't know if there are any practical ramifications of this in secular real estate law, but when you rent an apartment today, says Rav Shach, it's considered as if you own it. You have full ownership of it. Just in 2 years from now, you got to sell it back. Or 2 years from now, you got to give it back. 2 years ago, 2 years from now, you got to move out. That's the way that a lease works. So he says that, so today, if you rent to a non-Jew, you're not renting to a non-Jew the way the Gemara called it a rental, right? You're selling it to a non-Jew for a 2 year time, right? So it's like it's his house for 2 years, right? You don't have a right. You can't go and knock on his door and say, you know what, my daughter-in-law just got married. My daughter just got married to my son-in-law, right? And they need the apartment, you know, take a hike. Right? You can't do that. He has a lease on it, right? You can't move him either. You can't say to him, look, I know you have a two-bedroom, but, you know, my kid just had a baby. They need to move into the two-bedroom. You got to move someplace else, right? You don't have a right to do that anymore. So Shach says that's the way it worked. That's why you could rent to non-Jews. So Shach says it's the same thing for mezuzahs, right? That if a mezuzah, right, what's the reason that you got to wait 30 days back in the good old days? Because you weren't really considered owning it. You weren't really considered having a bailus. You didn't really weren't considered having a big stake in it until 30 days passed. Once 30 days passed, you can assume that the owner is not going to kick you out. Right, but today, when you move in day one, you can assume that the owner is not going to kick you out. Why can you assume that? Because the law says he's not allowed to kick you out once you sign the lease. So Shach says that he thinks that today you have to put the mezuzah up right away. And in fact, Rav Moshe writes the same thing in the Tshuva here. Rav Moshe, in response, it says the same thing that. He said, "V'chein noag in olam b'dira she'sochrim l'kvias she'ein mechakin." That which people are accustomed of, that people rent houses that they can't be kicked out from. He says it might only apply v'rak b'diros shesochrin b'countries the most hakayets. Right, the bungalows. Right, this is a shail in the bungalows. In the bungalows, you're going over for 2 months, but you're not really going up like. You don't have any more ownership, like, in the way you do, the way you don't. He says, in the country, maybe it would apply, because you're not really going to be there permanently. Because there you really are arai. You're really not there permanent, even if you think you're going to be there more than 30 days. Because it is arai, it is impermanent. Now, one could argue with this, etc., but we'll leave that for there. Because you can always go back home. That's he's talking about the bungalow still. Which is who he's talking about. But if you know you're going to be there for a while, one should be stringent, and stringent in what? And put it up right away. Then in theory you can even make the bracha within the first 30 days. He says if you want to wait till day 30 to put it up again with a mezuzah, to put it up with a bracha, so he says that would be appropriate. So that's what, and it goes into explaining why that is mutter, why that's okay. I mean, I thought you have to make the brachas before putting things up. Why are you allowed to wait? So he says that it's the same thing as by talis and tefillin, etc., that if you put on your talis and tefillin before it becomes sunrise, and then it becomes sunrise, you can make the bracha later. You put it on earlier. He says, yeah, but you're in constant fulfillment of the mitzvah. So too with the mezuzah. Mezuzah is not something you do once. Right, it's not a bracha, it's not a mitzvah of putting up a mezuzah. The bracha is to have mezuzah, to have a mezuzah-ized house. Right? So as long as you're living in a mezuzah-ized house, you can continue to make the bracha. That's the psak of Rav Moshe. The last thing I wanted to discuss, though I don't really have time, is this idea of checking your mezuzah if something bad happens to you. Or the other also the idea of kissing the mezuzah. And one final, there's what to talk about. It's not complete myth. There's actually a basis for that. And the other one, although it's a structural issue, is like the people that put their mezuzahs like lower on their kids' rooms. Okay, no one's ever seen this. Like their kids' rooms, they put their mezuzahs like very low off the ground. That's terrible. You're not using mezuzah on that room. Not recommended. Okay, Yeshiko, thank you for coming.